Hello, I'm Rob McBride, Project Manager for Communications, Evaluation, and Administration for the Avenue Learn IT to Teach project. In this podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Tony Bates. Tony is a research associate with Contact North, Ontario's distance education and training network. Tony is a leading light for advocates of online and blended learning in Canada. He's the author of 11 books in the field of online learning and distance education. He has provided consulting services in the planning and management of online learning and distance education, working with over 40 organizations in 25 countries. This is the first of three podcast interviews recorded with Dr. Bates. In this episode, we are talking about educator responses to the COVID-19 pandemic, better practices in blended learning, and how educators can take advantage of the affordances of the media available. So I'm very pleased to be talking today to one of Canada's leading lights on the role of online and digital learning in adult education. Welcome, Dr. Tony Bates. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
The COVID-19 pandemic has represented a very serious challenge to teaching and learning, and nowhere more than in the settlement language training sector where I and our audience works. In March, about 40,000 learners across Canada were sent home while their teachers tried to implement new modes of learning. Many were well prepared for this if they had already engaged in blended learning through a learning management system like EduLink or Avenue.ca. They and their learners were at least oriented to working online. But many teachers were not prepared and have been working frantically for the past 6 months to keep their home learners engaged and on track with their settlement goals. I know you've done a lot of research, reflection, and writing around modes of online learning. Could there be a silver lining to this cloud of challenges?
Yeah, I guess so. It's forcing a lot of people to do online learning who either had no need to do it or didn't want to do it before. It's not the solution to all our problems. There are things that you need face-to-face teaching for, and we could discuss that a little more in the context of language learning. But there are many, many things that can be done just as well, if not better, online than they can as to face-to-face. There's a lot of research on this now. But, of course, you have to do it well. You can do face-to-face teaching badly or well, and you can do online learning badly or well. So it's a question of quality and, in particular, building on what we've learned from experience of what works and what doesn't online over the last 25 years since we've been doing online learning.
Interesting. Well, can you give me an example of something that works better online than face-to-face?
Well, asynchronous learning, that's where you want students to do practice, for instance. You can provide lots of examples online and they can work through those examples. That's an asynchronous form of learning. It's not unique to online learning. Students do homework, for instance, in traditional ways, and they work asynchronously on that. But online learning can provide a bit of structure around that asynchronous learning. You can give feedback, for instance, over automatically. So there are a number of things you can do. What the research shows is that it's really not so much the mode of delivery that matters, it's the time on task. And online learning provides more opportunities for students to spend more time on the task, practicing.
It makes me reflect on something that was in a link demonstration, link blended learning demonstration project research we did in 2018. One of several of the students who were part of the study observed that when they participated in forums, online forums, they had more opportunity to frame their responses, and they didn't feel as overwhelmed by the voices in the class that tended to be more verbose in a face-to-face setting. In other words, these were the shyer students, and they felt they had that forums were a more of an equal opportunity.
There is some research that shows that introverts do better online than they do in face-to-face classes. I'm not saying that's necessarily a good, you know, I try to avoid value judgments about this, about one is better than the other. There will be times when introverts will clearly benefit from studying online, but there may be times when you need to challenge them because they have to sometimes work in situations that are not in a way they can sort of hide. You know, they have to come out and do things. And so again, you have to look at the benefits of both synchronous and asynchronous, face-to-face and online. You can, with online, you can do both synchronous and asynchronous online, but obviously face-to-face is always synchronous by definition. So again, it's thinking about when you need to use synchronous and whether it can be done just as well online or not.
Are you an advocate of the flipped learning model, Tony?
I'm an advocate of the blended learning model, which is not quite the same. Flipped learning is primarily providing a classroom lecture online, which the students study first, then come to class, and then they do activities. One of the problems is they often don't do that work before they come to class. So then you have to go over everything, you know, which is because the students haven't followed the lecture. What I would like to see is a better use of the medium. In other words, consider face-to-face teaching as one medium and consider video as another medium. And the question then arises, is using video for a face-to-face lecture the best use of the medium? And I would argue it's not. I'm not saying you should never do face-to-face lectures over video, but there's a lot of research on this topic and about how well students learn from certainly synchronous video, which is often not very good.
Well, some language teachers apply flipped in a slightly different way when they have a language teaching point or a desired outcome. The learners are asked to do practice, drill, preparation in anticipation of the class. And then when they have the face-to-face opportunity, the teacher's not is liberated from explaining the concept and instead is just encouraging practice and interactions among the class.
Yeah, well, that would be more like my blended learning definition. Yes, if you're using flipped in that sense, then yes, I think it is a good design. Definitely, I think there are two things that online learning is good for. It's good for pre-preparation and it's good for follow-up. So, again, what it's doing is allowing the students more time on task. So it's not so much the medium, but it gives them a variety. It gives them some things that they control a little bit better. They can do the practice when it's convenient for them rather than having to do it whenever the class is set up to be done. So again, it's the asynchronous part here that's more important, I think, if you're doing pre-preparation and follow-up. But it's really one of the things you have to build into the teaching is our checks to make sure that they do this work when they're not in the class. And this depends on the maturity of the learner to some extent. If you have a lot of immature, I don't mean naive or people who haven't done the subject before. I'm talking about their personality here, about whether they take responsibility for their learning or they don't. Online learning forces students to take more responsibility for their learning, which is a good thing, but it doesn't happen by accident. And you often have to build in encouragement to students to take the responsibility to do this. That means giving them regular exercises to do and making sure they do those exercises, usually by giving them a grade or something for it. But the important thing is to make sure that they know that you're following up on what they're doing when you're not present with them. I think one of the biggest, most important and most obvious pieces of research into online learning is the importance of what's called instructor presence when students are studying online. So for instance, if you put them into a discussion forum to get them to practice their written skills, for written language skills, for instance, by discussing and using the language in the discussion forum, you need to be there in the sense of they know you don't have to respond to every comment made, but students need to know that you're looking at what they're doing and you're commenting enough on it for them to be aware of that. That makes a big difference to getting students to do stuff online if they think the instructor's following up on it. I used to have a grid where I had student activities down one side and the student's name across the other. And I would look at what they were doing online and just tick it off like a spreadsheet. And if certain students weren't participating, I would send them an email. As simple as that. And usually one or two emails would be enough, and then once they understand what's expected, I find most students were able to do that.
Well, thanks so much, Tony. That's terrific advice. We're going to continue our conversation in another podcast, but let's close off this section and move along. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was made possible by funding from Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada.